going on, America? I am Graham Allen, and welcome to the newest episode of the Dear America podcast. Are there more than two genders, or are there only two? Some would argue that in sports, it doesn't matter. We have a special guest that broke the internet. Zuby is in the house breaking down the myth of what it means to identify as something else. Sit back, relax, and welcome to the newest episode of the Dear America podcast. Hey! What's going on, America? And welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dear America podcast. If you're wondering what in the world the title of this is about, we have the man, the myth, the legend, the rapper, the world traveler, and also identifies as a female power lifter from time to time. Zuby is in the house, man.
Hello. What's up? I'm happy to be here.
Thanks, man. Thanks for coming in. So before we get into all that crazy stuff, really quick, just for people that don't know who you are, just give us the, you know, the Reader's Digest version. Who is Zuby?
Sure thing. So I am an independent rapper, born in the UK, raised in Saudi Arabia, went to an American school for a while. Family originally from Nigeria.
You've got an interesting accent from being from the UK.
Like, yeah. It's that's why I gave the rest of the story right there, because someone's probably just thinking this guy does not sound British.
Yeah,
and I get the same thing.
He identifies as someone from the UK.
That's right.
That'll work. So yeah, I'm a rapper. I've released 5 albums and 3 EPs.
Wow.
My latest album, Perseverance, came out earlier this year. I'm also an author. I wrote and released my first book, Strong Advice: Zuby's Guide to Fitness for Everybody.
Cool.
Earlier this year. I'm also the host of my own podcast, Real Talk with Zuby, which comes out every Friday on all the usual channels. And I also do some public speaking and various bits here and there. I call myself a creative entrepreneur.
So you're a lazy guy.
It's pretty much what you're doing. Yeah.
So, you know, you pretty much just sit around and do nothing.
Basically,
is what we're here.
Yeah, professional thumb twiddler.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome, man. So I want to jump right into it. Go ahead and get all this stuff. You destroyed the internet. What was it? February?
Yeah, that's right.
Somewhere around in February. And I remember seeing the article, and I thought I just died out laughing. I thought it was the funniest thing in the world. So to catch you guys up, if you guys remember the viral clip of the guy saying that he identifies as a woman and he just broke the powerlifting record that just took the world by storm. That was you.
That was me.
So I'm very curious, and we'll get into, like, you know, the discussions about it. And transgender is a huge topic here in America right now. What was the process? What led to that? Like, how does one decide, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to identify as a woman and break the powerlifting record, or the deadlifting record, or whatnot. How did that happen? Like, what led up to that?
No problem. So over the years, I'd seen a whole bunch of stories coming out of that actually happening. So
right.
You'd had incidents of biological men either identifying as women, or, you know, some of them actually transitioning into transgender women and competing against biological women in their own sports, whether that is in MMA or in weightlifting or athletics, a whole bunch of different sports. I kept seeing it happening in over the years.
Right.
And I did sound a warning bell in private to people I know, saying this is going to become a thing.
Yeah.
I remember saying that to people about 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I was like, if you're going to make it as simple as a man being able to identify as a woman, then why would you not have guys just doing that and beating records? And, you know, people are like, Zuby, you're being silly, blah, blah, blah. And lo and behold, like a lot of things I say, a few years later down the line, it starts happening, and everyone's like, oh, why is this happening? Why didn't anyone stop this? And I'm like rolling my eyes at them.
Right.
So basically, I kept seeing those stories. And in 1 week, I'd seen 3 or 4 stories, mostly coming out of the U.S., actually, I think in high school athletics, of this continually happening.
We're the wokest over
it's
here.
It's a huge, it is like every 3 tabloids right now, it's something about transgender or something like that.
Yeah, it's always in there. So, So I just kept seeing that, and just out of curiosity, I just thought, well, I know I'm a strong dude. I was like, I wonder what the women's records are in powerlifting in the UK, in my weight class, which is 84 kilos. So I just Googled them, and I was like, oh, I can destroy the deadlift one. I can destroy the bench press one.
That's sexist, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
I'm offended.
Disclaimer, he's a guest. We don't know. So I'm just, go ahead, man. I'm just messing.
And then the squat one was actually slightly above my max squat. So I was like, okay, I can't beat that one. But I just had
We are good at the squats.
Yeah.
That is true. Ladies are good at the squats.
Yep.
So I on my phone, I already had that video clip. You know, that video clip that went viral was already on the internet.
Really?
It was just on YouTube.
It's all about the captions, man.
It was just on YouTube as part of one of my training routines, uh-huh. right? Because that was 100 pounds below my max, so yeah. I could have lifted that multiple times. So I just had the video on my phone, so I just posted it. And yeah, I just had that caption. Hey, you keep hearing about how biological men have no physical strength advantage over women in 2019. So watch me destroy the British women's deadlift record without trying. P.S. I identify as a woman while lifting the weight. Don't be a bigot.
That's my favorite part.
Yeah, I think that was sort of the spark.
That was definitely the spark.
That's what took it off.
And yeah, I expected it to get a few laughs from my followers. I mean, at the time I tweeted this, I had 19,000 followers. Last time I checked, I have 132,000 now.
Wow.
And
wow.
So this thing went nuts. Within about 10 minutes, I had 10,000 views. After about an hour, it had hit, I want to say it hit 100,000
right.
in about 2 hours. And it just took on this life of its own. Yeah. I was seeing who was retweeting. It was like it was getting retweeted by Piers Morgan, Ann Coulter, just Joe Rogan. It just started going nuts. People were commenting in different languages, in Japanese, in Arabic, in Portuguese. It was just, wow. it just went everywhere. Wow. And I was just looking at my phone like, what have I done?
What have I done?
Yeah. And then the next day, I started getting calls from the media, BBC, ITV, like places saying, oh, yeah, we saw your viral video. We want to talk to you about it and why you did it and this and that. And, you know, it gained a lot of attention, but I think a lot of the attention stayed because, I mean, I've been grinding since 2006. So I've put out so much work out there. I've got my music. I've got my podcast. I've got everything that I do. So, you know, people go viral on Twitter all the time,
yeah.
but it comes and it goes really quickly. Yeah. But in that case, it came and a lot of the attention actually stayed because people realized, oh, this Zuby guy's actually interesting.
Right.
This isn't just some random one-off thing. Like, this guy's got some stuff to say and he's got some interesting perspective. So
did you get a lot of hate off of that one?
Yes, just because it reached so many people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's impossible for anything to take off without hate being attached to it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're synonymous with each other.
Exactly.
If it's seen by a lot of people, there's always going to be a lot of hate attached to it.
I would honestly say 98% of the feedback was positive and people got it and people thought it was funny.
So on that, that's what I want to ask you about. So 98% of people roughly, and of course we're estimating, you know, mm-hmm. kind of stuff, but the vast majority of feedback was positive or hilarious or, oh, this is exactly what I've been saying or mm-hmm. things like that.
Even from transgender people.
Right, right.
I want to actually point that
out.
A
lot of the LGBTQ community and all this stuff, I like to call them the sane ones. A lot of the sane ones will tell you, they're like, we have no idea what is happening over here and stuff like that. You did it because I would assume you don't agree with transgender or men who identify as women being able to go into women's sports and dominate, right?
No, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, right. And so that to me is the thing. It would seem like the vast majority of people are like, yeah, that's crazy. Like, that doesn't make any sense at all. Why are we even having this conversation?
Yeah, that's not from a place of hatred. That's from a place of being sensible,
and being fair, yeah,
and logical.
Well, you see this movement. You've got the feminist movement and the equality and pay gaps and all this other kind of stuff. There seems to be this active attack on men. That's what it appears to be, right? Like, all these things are spawned by the fact of men think they're superior in everything, and women can do exactly what the men can do, and we can do it better, and blah blah blah. It's not bigoted. And it's not hatred filled to simply point out that there are biological differences and advantages between the genders and or sexes or whatever you want to call it. You know, gender is a social construct, you know, and all this mm-hmm. stuff. But there is. Yeah. And one of the biggest things, and I heard you talking about this briefly with Joe Rogan, is the U.S. Olympic soccer kicker that kicked the 55-yard field goal in practice is saying that women can field goal kick in the NFL. I don't think anyone's arguing that women are able to kick a ball that far. That's not what we're arguing. What we're saying is playing soccer on the U.S. Olympic team with a bunch of other girls and getting hit is a completely different thing than you being a buck 20 or buck 30 walking in there, and then some 285-pound linebacker comes full speed at you and just obliterates you.
I say let them. Natural consequences.
Yeah, and they say, well, you can't tackle a kicker.
It's like,
what if you got a muffed little, you know, muffed hike and you hand the ball to her? Run!
A punter's job is the last line of defense. If that return kicker, or if that kick returner gets past all the other people, it's the kicker's job.
What, are you going to just let him go past?
Yeah, to stop. And, dude, I'm telling you, if a girl tries to run and take down some grown man running a 440, you know, all that stuff down the field.
Those aren't even normal grown men either.
I know. Yeah, those are like beasts, or gladiators.
How about somebody like Vontaze Burfict? Like, he doesn't care who you are. He's going to target you. That's a soul.
Sue, whatever his name, Ndamukong Suh. He would like choke slam somebody just to prove a point.
Yeah.
That's all we're saying. Yeah. We're not saying that we don't love women. We're not saying we don't respect women. We're simply saying
we love women, so we actually want to
protect them.
Love them more.
That's not okay in America.
Yeah, that's
you're not
that's
supposed
benevolent,
to protect
benevolent
us.
Yeah. System, right?
Women can love themselves.
Yeah,
okay.
We don't need y'all to love us and protect us.
Right. Mm. We're gonna really dissect this, but before we do, let's get into a sponsor. When you're constantly on the go, grinding away at the office or hanging out with friends, there's not much time to think about upgrading your style or apartment. That's why I love getting a box of awesome from Bespoke Post every month. These guys are out scouting for quality and unique products to send in each box. Now you can experience it too at boxofawesome.com. Whether you're in search of the perfect drink, a well-kept pad, or jet-setting in style, Bespoke Post improves your life one box at a time. Each box goes for under $50, but has more than $70 worth of unique gear waiting inside for you. For the first of each month, you'll receive an email with your box details. To receive 20% off your first subscription box, go to boxofawesome.com and enter code Graham at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code Graham for 20% off your first box. Bespoke Post, theme boxes for guys that give a darn. All right, so let's get back into this stuff. And Zuby, I know you got a whole lot of other things going on that I really want to talk to you about. But I think that this is just a vital kind of conversation to have, especially here in America. And I'm curious the differences. Is transgender thing, is it something that's been, I don't know, what's the word? I'm readily in the open of the public for a long time in the UK and things like that. I mean, is it just now catching up to America, or is America going a little further than the UK does, or is it pretty even? What do you think?
It's pretty even. From what I can gather, I won't even say the entire modern Western world. I would actually specifically say the Anglosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The UK, USA, Australia, and Canada.
Okay.
That seems to be where it's really become a huge talking point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because, I mean, I don't know how these things work, but it's something that's given so much more time and due and prominence than it really sort of should, based on how many people this actually
affects.
This is not this is not saying that, you know, people don't deserve to be treated with dignity or have equal rights or anything like that. I don't see people arguing that.
Yeah.
Right.
It's more that it's like, why is it constantly
like Rogan said, he's like, why can't we have trans people play trans people? I'm like, well, in football, I don't know if you get enough people to make a full team. You know,
Because there's not. At the end of the day, there's not that big
that
of a demand.
People.
It's a small percentage of people that are the loudest for some reason.
With men's sports, I mean, you know, I don't know if you guys are aware, with a lot of men's sports, they're not actually technically men's sports. They're just open.
Right.
Yeah.
They're open. There aren't rules in a lot of the major sports leagues at any level saying women are not allowed to compete and play. You could have a woman play in the NBA, technically, as far as I'm
aware. If you're good enough to score 30 points a game in the NBA, then come on. You know,
but because of the biological differences we've mentioned, height, weight, strength, speed, reaction time, lung capacity, all of these factors mean that if you take the very, very, very best athletes in almost any sport, I think the one exception is long-distance swimming.
They're
all going to be male, right? And that's not a diss to women. That's not saying women that's the whole reason you divide the sports.
Exactly.
So, people
so it's
can
fair.
See, yeah. So you can watch the best men compete
and
you can
best
watch
women
the best women compete.
Yeah.
And if you know, if you just want to have a free-for-all, you just want to open it up, you can do that. But if you had that and you didn't have a separate women's league, you wouldn't have women competing in high level sport.
Yeah.
And it's, again, it's like we already worked this out.
like a really long time
yeah. ago,
yeah.
And suddenly, for ideological reasons, people are like, "Oh, maybe we should change this here," and it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So, I'm curious, though. I mean, I know this is what it feels like. It feels like things start in either Canada or the UK, things like that, and then a couple years later, it really starts to catch pace in America, and America seems to just take it completely out into left field, right? I mean, just get
run with it.
Ridiculous with it. So my question is, in the UK and stuff like that, when all this stuff started coming up and started gaining attention and things, does it feel as hate-driven or divisive in the UK as it does here? I mean, is it that way everywhere right now over this transgender discussion?
I don't know. I don't really know what two things to compare here. When you say hate-filled and rage-filled,
well, here it would appear like this is what we've lost here in America as for what we see. Okay. There is a difference between agreeing and accepting, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you can accept something. You can accept somebody's premise. It's like, sure. Okay, you know, transgender. Okay. Mm-hmm. I accept what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with it, but I accept it. You know, I don't think that there's 172 genders. I don't believe that.
As far as I'm aware, neither do most transgender people.
Right.
This is the thing.
Right, exactly.
People talk about them like a community, but they're not. They're just individuals like anybody else. I mean, the whole idea, I'm no transgenderism expert, but as far as I'm aware, the whole idea is that someone is born a biological male or a biological female.
Yeah.
And they feel and want to identify with and look like and be treated like the opposite.
Yeah.
Right. They're not saying, oh, I'm another of one of 200 other genders.
Yeah.
It's a man who's saying, no, I want to transition to a woman or vice versa.
But that's where I think this hatred or divisiveness comes in. Mm-hmm. Because what I'm seeing now is, okay, Alyssa's a girl, but she feels like she's a man. So she's going to go through transitions to be a man.
Feel like Jake should be a girl.
As much
right.
as you biologically can. I mean, you can only do it so biologically much. I mean, mm-hmm. if we're being completely honest, you have to take a lot of stuff mm-hmm. and you have to do a lot of things. And then still your DNA doesn't lie. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and the problem is this. Okay, you want to be considered a man now. Okay, cool. Expecting society to, or let's go vice versa. Jake wants to be a girl. Let's
yes.
go that.
There you
okay?
go.
Okay. Jake wants to be a girl. So you've taken, you know, estrogen, you've got boobs now, you've removed the male part, all this other kind of stuff, right? Okay, cool. That's what you want to do. All right. As an American, my obligation to you is to accept that and not treat you like a human being, mm-hmm. full of decency and respect. The problem is you have a lot of people now that says, okay, because I identify this way, mm-hmm. you now have to change your pattern of behavior in your daily life to make me feel better about the choices of which I am. Mm. I should be allowed to go in the female bathroom with your 10-year-old daughter and all this other kind of stuff, and it shouldn't be a big deal. Well, that's asking an awful lot from people. You know what I mean? And so because we disagree on some of the aspects, well, now apparently we all hate each other. And that's not true at all. It's just, I mean, you're asking an awful lot of people.
Well, I think it's the minority, too. The loud ones are speaking. Because a lot of people are very reasonable.
Yeah.
But it's the loud ones.
What goes on in your stall in the bathroom is your own business and all that stuff. Yeah. You know, why do you got to make it such a big deal?
You know, I think the reality with anything like this is that activists rarely represent the group that they claim to.
Yeah. The majority.
Right, exactly.
As far as I'm concerned, there's a huge difference between, you know, and I've met about 10 transgender people that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had transgender people come to my shows, people I've met who I know for a fact are transgender, right?
Right.
And the crazy activist types are not representative of those people.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like someone who claims to be an activist for black people or for women or for nobody elected this person as
the
spokesperson.
No,
they took it upon themselves. Oftentimes they're not even part of the demographic,
mm-hmm.
but they just want to speak for who they consider to be some kind of oppressed or marginalized minority. And that can come from a good place, but oftentimes those are the people who are a lot more radical and mm-hmm. aggressive yeah. and deeply intolerant of people who question or challenge some of their ideas.
Well, it's the same thing with Christians, right? The Christians Absolutely. That give Christians a bad name are yeah. the super extreme,
yeah,
hypocritical, judgmental
yeah.
type
yeah.
Christians, right?
That's why we call the left morally superior, because they feel like they are the ones fighting the real fight.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
we're morally superior. That's why we're marching in this protest
well,
or whatever.
Well, it's the argument the people that claim to be the most tolerant are mm-hmm. usually the least
the
tolerant.
Least tolerant.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And they ruin things. Like, I've read an article in England, rugby, mm-hmm. female rugby. I know you're a big rugby guy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
rugby
I read about that.
Is being ruined basically by these transgender females,
yeah.
guys that transition.
Biological men, yeah.
Referees are going on strike. The women can't play because it's dangerous. Rugby's
right.
already super dangerous.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So wait. So it's the women's league that men are playing in, but are
a
transgender.
A guy that transitioned into a female.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and to anyone who, and to anyone who's questioning this, they should also wonder why is it never the other way around.
Yeah, that's what I've thought.
For anyone
about
who's saying that, okay, this is really just about equality and inclusion, it's like, why is it always?
Exactly.
It's women who are going to get hurt by this,
yes.
right? There's
yeah.
no woman who's going to transition into a male and start dominating
and
in the
exactly.
NFL.
They can't.
No
happen.
Girl,
it's
no
not
girl
gonna
is going to beat
You're
LeBron
right.
James
no, it's
in
not,
basketball.
It's,
you know,
it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so the concern is for, you know, it's not men who are going to be negatively impacted by
right.
it,
You're
which
right.
is the crazy thing. Because again, a lot of the people pushing this are the people saying that they're pro women. And that they think, you know, women should have their spaces and mm-hmm. be safe and whatever. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you're the one putting them at risk.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't
exactly.
know if you saw. I mean, it's even in prisons now. I don't know. I saw Joe Biden. I don't know if you saw the thing you said the other week saying that when it comes to prisons, people should be able to go to the prison
oh,
of,
yes,
the,
yes.
of the gender yeah. they identify
yep.
as. And I was just like, wait, hang.
It's
like,
crazy,
wait,
man.
Wait,
it's nuts.
Yeah. And I don't know if you know that happened. That happened in the UK. There was someone who was convicted of sexual assault. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A biological man convicted of sexual assault, identified as a woman, got put into the women's prison, and then
wow.
proceeded to sexually assault several more women.
Oh, my.
Right,
see,
that sounds like something out of The Onion or South Park
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
Right? You're just like, wait,
sound
what?
Real?
Not
no.
logical yeah. at
and,
all.
And that ties in. There's this shelter up in Alaska for women from abusive relationships or whatever, and they're faith based, and they're not accepting transgender females
mm-hmm.
in the shelter. And they said, we're not going to make these women who have been assaulted by men sleep and disrobe next to a man.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's a good argument.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. At the end of the day, I don't think any rational person is just like, no, you can't be transgender. You can't.
Right.
Because it makes me uncomfortable. You can't do it.
Yeah.
Nobody's saying that.
I mean,
hey,
a few people might be, but they're not.
A few people,
you know,
maybe,
sure.
but they don't speak for the majority
right.
of folks, right? Hey, whatever you want to do, man, you go, or lady, you go do whatever it is that
Easy.
You want to do.
Mm.
Easy. But when you start expecting the rest of society to change what they are doing to support you for wanting to be different. I mean, that's what it is, you
mm-hmm.
know, and there's nothing wrong with choosing to be different, but expecting people to change how they do life because you want to be different, well, that's entitlement
mm-hmm.
in and of itself, right?
It's like, not even just expecting, it's also trying to force sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, in Canada, they've changed the law. In the UK, you've got activists, again,
mm-hmm.
some
mm-hmm.
of these very loud activists who are
yeah.
trying to change the laws.
Well, even
yeah, right?
in our school systems, is it the same way? They're pushing like all kinds of
yeah.
agendas now in our elementary schools.
Yeah.
Well, that's what brought Jordan Peterson to, you know, the fame was him not. I mean, he said he would, but he wouldn't be compelled. There was
no.
a teacher in Virginia who lost his job after refusing to use a transgender student's preferred pronoun. So you're getting
fired. That's a good point. So here in America, American First Amendment is very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can say whatever we want to say. The only thing that's not protected by the First Amendment is an incitement of violence
mm-hmm.
against somebody else. You can say racist things if you want in America. Is it morally right? No.
Well, you probably get beat up. Yeah.
Yeah. But you have
but you, can.
You have every right to say it if
mm-hmm.
that's what you want to do. So what you just read there, a teacher refuses to call somebody by their desired pronoun.
Right.
And then you get them fired. Aren't you now aren't you now
it's compelled speech
making? Aren't you going against their First Amendment right to be able to? You, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the slippery slope that's going on right now.
And the U.S. has the law right in that regard, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Right. In the U.K. and in Europe, you've got you know, you do have hate speech laws, which to any, you know, to any reasonable person, it doesn't sort of matter nor affect them, because most people are like, yeah, you know, you shouldn't run around the street, you know, shouting the
right,
the N-word at people, or, you know,
or other
yeah, you know, everyone. But a lot of people don't think through these things totally thoroughly, mm-hmm. right? And they don't realize that it can become a very extremely subjective
absolutely.
Thing, yeah. right? Slippery where it's slope. Like, okay, well, what words can you or can't say? And a lot of the things are based on how the person, how the listener perceives them.
Yeah.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. So someone could just, in the UK, in theory, someone could look at me a weird way or maybe insult me. And if I deem it to be racially motivated, even if they didn't use a racial slur or anything, but I, for whatever reason, in my brain, in my feelings, I interpret it racially, I can go to the police and report either a hate incident or a hate crime.
That's scary, man.
A hate incident is a non-crime hate related thing, which it's really, really weird. They brought in a new category, so it falls below a crime. So they're saying this is not a crime, but still report it to the police.
Interesting.
So that's where it kind of gets it gets
murky.
Very
murky.
Yeah, it gets very murky. Yeah. You know, like, again, I don't think this will affect 99% of people, but you have had cases of somebody tells a joke. Okay,
yeah.
Somebody makes a joke and they get arrested or convicted, or the cops come to their house because they posted something.
I'm offended.
Yeah, they posted something on Twitter. They called someone by the, people have had the police give them a ring because they misgendered somebody on Twitter.
Wow.
And
wow.
that's a real thing. So that's just where you're like, wait, hang on, this is not what it's supposed to be. These laws are not doing what they're intended for.
Yeah. Now I have heard that before from some other gentlemen that were from the UK, and they told me that in the UK, I mean, I kind of just thought that they were kind of just, you know, exaggerating a little bit, but they said in the UK, they could be at a table in a restaurant and they could be having a conversation with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody in the restaurant at a table overheard their conversation and found it to be offensive or sexist or racial or mm-hmm. things like that, they can call the police on those people. And I thought, that's insanity. That can't be true. But you just said it.
I believe that is probably true. I think it's really unlikely to happen.
Yeah.
But technically, it's possible.
Wow.
Would the police, you know, arrest them or convict
something?
Them? Probably not.
Okay.
But I think if it's reported, they'd at least have to investigate.
Interesting.
Did you hear what de Blasio just did in New
Lord,
York?
Lord, I can only imagine.
Let's go to a sponsor and I'll tell you.
Okay. All right. So I run my own business here. And I mean, as you can tell, this is a business in and of itself. So I can tell you from personal experience, if you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. But the problem growing businesses have that keeps them from knowing their numbers is their hodgepodge of business systems. They have one system for accounting, another for sales, another for inventory, and so on and so on. It just makes a big, inefficient mess, taking up too much time and too many resources, and that hurts the bottom line. So today, I'm introducing you to NetSuite by Oracle, the business management software that handles every aspect of your business in an easy-to-use cloud platform, giving you the visibility and control you need to grow. That's why NetSuite is the world's number one cloud business system. And right now, NetSuite is offering you valuable insights with a free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits at netsuite.com/Graham. That's netsuite.com/Graham to download your free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits, netsuite.com/Graham.
So basically, de Blasio made it illegal to use the term illegal immigrant.
Oh,
you didn't
yeah.
hear about that?
I heard
like,
about that.
That's
yeah.
you total get attack now. On the First Amendment.
Yeah.
Straight
you,
up.
Yeah, you get fined for saying
that. And what was the other one
now?
In our other podcast? If you have been to prison, you have to
call. Oh, that's California.
Yeah.
You can't say felon or convict. It's a justice involved person.
A justice involved person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that couldn't just be a judge or a jury.
He's a multiple justice.
A multiple justice.
Pardon me, sir. I am a justice involved person.
Or manhole covers. You can't say it's maintenance.
Maintenance hole
covers now.
Can't say manatees.
Man, I must say, like, being in California for the first time and then coming to Texas for the first time, it's been really interesting to get a firsthand
perspective. Two different worlds, some of this stuff.
Yeah.
That's the interesting thing about America. You can go from one state to the other and you wouldn't. Unless you're from America, you wouldn't realize you're even in the same country sometimes, because
culture
is so different from state to state, which is interesting. So, speaking about different cultures, this is the first time we've had someone from another country on the show. So I'm really curious. You know Candace Owens. We're really good friends with Candace Owens. The Blexit movement is something that's really taking America by storm right now. And people like Candace have really started this whole thing, you know, quoting their words, black people don't have to be Democrats and things like that. I'm curious from your perspective, for those of you who aren't watching the video, you are a black guy, just to shock everybody. And for those of you who don't know, I'm a white guy. So I'm just curious. What your thoughts are, because Candace's main thing is a lot of the issues that have happened to black America in America throughout America's history, as horrible as it all was Democratic ran. And it was the Democratic Party that led to a lot of those things. Mm-hmm. And so what you see now is a lot of black conservatives coming out. Mm-hmm. And they're being just...
The fact that you have to say coming out says it all, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so I'm just curious, from the outside looking in, just your thoughts on that. Yeah. I mean, do you think America has just completely lost its mind, or do you see kind of what Candace and them are talking about?
Oh, I definitely see it. I mean, I probably would have seen it long before she did.
Right.
Because I'm not someone who's ever shifted politically.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I've been in the same place since my teens. Like, I don't really like to label myself, but if I had to on the spectrum, you know, I would be somewhere center right.
And right.
All that's happened is I've moved a little bit more libertarian over time, but, you know, that's it. I can generally understand the perspectives on both sides of things, but I'm not someone who sort of had an awakening and, you know, I used to be a leftist.
Oh, yeah.
Like
she was
liberal.
Hardcore leftist.
No, I've never, ever been like that. So, I have always wondered and questioned, especially when I see the voting stats. I mean, you look at it, I don't know what the numbers are. It's like 92%, 92-8 or something like
that. Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen any group of people in any country that so consistently votes in one direction, which in itself has always raised question marks to me. Like, wait, what's going on there? Why is everybody marching in lockstep?
Yeah.
I mean, someone asked me about this yesterday, and one thing that's... So there's a lot of things here. So I would say that in the UK, for example, it's easier to be a non-white conservative.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think there's a leaning, say, towards the Labour Party in the UK that I think, you know, the majority of black people or Asian people, you know, non-white people would generally vote that way. But it's not like 90-10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see what I mean? It might be like 60-40 or something like that coming across. An Asian guy or a black woman or whatever who's conservative isn't like, oh my gosh, like that's crazy. Whereas it seems to me from an outsider perspective, like being a black Republican, being an open black conservative is tough. You got to deal with a lot of crap from other black people and you got to deal with a lot of crap from white liberals.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
To put it simply. And it's so I think that what Candace and other people like her are doing, you know, I follow quite a few prominent black conservatives on Twitter and other social media. And I think it's absolutely necessary. I think the key message isn't even, you know, you need to stop. The message isn't you need to stop voting Democrat and come vote Republican.
You need to think for yourself.
The message is just about free thinking. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. In the UK, there's no such thing as you in the US. You always hear terms like the black vote.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That doesn't exist in the UK. No
black vote, the Christian vote.
No, but nobody in the UK would ever say the black vote. No one would. That concept doesn't exist. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like this is a block of people. This is a monolith. and they're going to go that way.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no black vote. There's no Asian vote. It's a lot more individualistic in that regard. Whereas strangely in the US, it's a lot more.
That's so true.
Of a collectivist mentality.
Political candidates have different strategies for different voters.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a big deal. They spend millions of dollars for campaigning for the black vote. Mm. And then they break it down even more. We've got the single black vote. Mm-hmm. We've got the single with children black vote. You know, we've got the male black vote, and then they go to the Hispanics and all this other kind of stuff, and then the Christian vote. Like, they will bring in consultants to help candidates win, you know, the Christian vote and stuff like that. I mean, it's I'd never thought about it like that, but that's
true.
Yeah, well, the left is an identity politics.
It's all identity. It's all identity driven,
and they rely on it as well.
Yeah, you know, and it's tough to be a black conservative in the U.S. I mean, people will call you a race traitor. People will call you
Uncle Tom.
People
and
will
all
call
that
you Uncle Tom.
Yeah.
People will call you really bad. It's very venomous.
Yeah,
it's a real, real thing.
Yeah,
and it will come from primarily the hostility and attacks will come from other black people.
Yeah.
Okay. And then some of it will also come from, you know, white liberals. And I've observed this for over a decade.
Yeah.
Right. I've observed this for a long time.
That's what I'm curious. Just somebody from the outside looking in.
Yeah. I think people are starting to like wake up and realize what I mean now. Because when I used to say this to people, even in the UK, people never really got what I mean. They're like, oh, what do you mean? Like, it's the left that are tolerant and accepting. And I'm like, oh, really? See what happens when you disagree with them.
Yeah. No.
That's what I've always said. I was like, look, you'll see if you disagree with somebody, see how they then treat you. See what they then call you.
Yeah.
I thought
so
I thought the whole thing with Kanye last year was so revealing.
Oh, yeah.
To me, that was just like a mask just totally falling off in public. Because it was like, look, okay, well, you know, look, he stepped out of line. And look at how people are now responding. Look at the name. Look at the names they're calling him.
He's all of a sudden mentally insane.
Yeah, he's insane. He's a disgrace to black people.
Yeah.
He's this, he's that. And I'm looking at that and I'm like, that's racism, man.
Yeah, we have super, super famous people in the music industry or the TV industry and stuff that write us privately all the time and say, hey, man, you know, we agree with 90%. I don't believe it's healthy for anyone to agree 100% with everybody. No. But either way, we agree with 90% of the stuff you guys talk about. But we could never, ever even be seen with you kind of thing because we'd never work again.
Yeah.
You know,
it's crazy. And especially, like I said, I'm coming from California. I spent 3 weeks in California.
Yeah.
And because of, you know, my Twitter going viral and gaining so many followers from across, the amount of DMs I receive from people in, you know, I will not name any names, but prominent people, people in Hollywood, musicians, journalists, people working in tech. This is it's a bigger issue than I thought it was. Like people being, like some of them, it sounds like I'm being DM'd by a hostage.
Right.
Yeah.
No, really.
Yeah,
like, you know, please don't screenshot this. Please don't mention my name to anybody.
Yep.
But, you know, I've been following you for a while. I agree with what you're saying. I work in this, but I can't say this. I can't say that. And I'm just like, what on earth is going on? Yep. I thought this was America. I thought this was Britain.
Somebody brought that up the other day and they said, you know, we look at these megastars, right? Like that's who we watch and that's who we look at constantly. Well, who do they look at? You know, and so when you find yourself in the places that we find ourselves, what we've discovered is a lot of those people that are involved in this super mega Hollywood world and all this stuff, they watch what conservative people do and they watch what these people in the public eye for politics or whatever it is, like that's who they watch and that's who they pay attention to. And
I mean, it's Mario Lopez.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Crucified him.
Yeah, he backtracked and we disagree with that.
Which I still disagree that he backtracked.
Yeah. But you know? He said a very reasonable thing.
Yeah.
It was
3-year-olds shouldn't be able to decide to go through gender replacement or gender change surgery or whatever.
I think it was the fact he was on Candace Owens' show in general is
I'm sure that
freaked them out the most.
Yeah.
And they crucified him and a lot of people, their jobs are at stake.
Yeah.
And that's what you're up against.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's nuts. I'm telling people there, like, they need to form some kind of, I don't know, coalition or group. Because if one person stands up, you know, no, people don't want to stand up individually because they don't want to be the first person to catch a proverbial bullet.
Yep.
You know?
And then nobody stands up
for
them.
If enough people had the guts to stand up in Hollywood, Hollywood would bow down to what they're saying. And, and here's what I mean. Look at Georgia. Georgia passed the heartbeat bill, right? And all these major networks, like, we're pulling production out of Georgia if you do this, da-da-da-da-da. Didn't none of them pull out of Georgia.
Of course not.
None of them. Because money talks.
Yep.
So if you have all these major Hollywood actors that finally say, you know what, we're conservative. If you don't want to book us for movies anymore, fine. See how much money and tickets you sell on these movies. You know what I mean?
The craziest thing about it is that's half the country.
Yeah.
Right? If you were to put everybody in any country on some sort of scale, I imagine you're going to get a general 50-50 split of, you know, 50% of people will really lean liberal, 50% will lean conservative.
Yeah.
Some of them, it might just be, you know, a tiny bit. Some it'll be, you know, a lot more towards the polls. But it's like you're not even talking about some weird, kooky, fringe idea or ideology. I'm telling you, this is half the country.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Like, well, how come you can go out in public as a musician, as a rapper, as a singer, as an entertainer, as a prominent person, and you can espouse any liberal talking point with zero fear of anything?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
However, saying anything, even the most basic conservative point, right, people are afraid to voice in public. And to me, that's just insane because these are totally mainstream views and ideas, and you can't have a proper dialogue and conversation when people are being stifled.
It's
like that.
Amazing to me that it seems to just be only politics that causes this. And what I mean by that is, I remember when I was a kid, you know, watching sports, you know, I was a huge Michael Jordan fan and all this stuff. You know, if you really dive into Michael Jordan, he's not the most liked person in the NBA. He had some gambling problems. He messed around on his wife, you know, all this other kind of stuff. But nobody cared. Like, you know what? I don't agree with his lifestyle or what he does, but man, he's a heck of a basketball player. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, but we can do that for everything. Oh, this guy's got a drug problem. Oh, this guy, you know, is on his 16th wife when he's got two kids with each of them. You know, all this other kind of stuff. This guy embezzles money from people. This guy isn't honest. We can overlook anything unless it's a topic about politics.
Yeah.
And then, by God, you better make your choice and live or die by it kind of thing. And if you don't pick the right one, we're going to crucify you for it.
Yeah.
Just interesting to me that it's just political topics.
I think part of that is because we're so politically polarized, the left sees us, half the country, as racist, homophobic, whatever.
Yeah.
We see a lot of them as crazy
pronouns.
Do
other countries view America like that? I mean, you can be honest. Do other countries, like, the normal thing is, oh, America, you know, like, they're racist over there or they're bigoted over there. I mean, is that the normal thing? I'm just curious. There is no wrong answer.
It's hard to say. It's really down to individuals. There are some people who do think like that, who have a very negative perception. But then there's others who are neutral, some who are very positive.
And
oftentimes, like with most things, it's based largely on exposure and genuine knowledge, right? So I've met people who, you know, before, when I was announcing I was going to the States, I mean, there were some people who were saying, oh, you know, are you sure you want to go there while that maniac is in the White House? Are you sure you want to go to Trump's America? Maybe wait until it, you know, or even with the mass shootings and things, you know, think, oh, don't go to Texas, man. Everyone's just running around with an AR-15 having shootouts in Walmart.
No. Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think it's like that.
You're going to get me on a tangent. I'll hold that one in.
I come to the U.S., right? And people are like, man, I hear in the U.K. everyone's running around with knives.
Having knife fights in the street,
West Side Story or something. And I'm like, no, it's not like that. You can go to London, you'll be all right.
That's where the media comes into
it and
throws gas on the fire and makes everything so much bigger of a deal than it is.
Yeah, you know, again, it's interesting. And that's why I like asking those questions, is because, you know, perspective is everything. And I think that there is a certain bit of, I mean, if you love your country, I mean, obviously you're going to think other countries aren't as good as yours, or other countries have problems, and you're like, I'm not going over there. Mm. I mean, it just kind of comes with it to a certain point. You know, I'll go visit, but ain't nothing beating America. You know what I mean? And then vice versa. You know, other people are like, hey, man, America's got some cool stuff, but, you know, I love London.
I don't think you should be labeled as, like, a hateful person for being patriotic, as long as you're not.
And we're different, right? Like, our countries are different.
Do you know one thing I love about America?
Mm-hmm. You go for it.
You guys have so many American flags.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
We don't have enough.
I do. Yep.
In the UK, you'd barely see the British flag.
See, really? That's crazy.
Yeah. You could be in the UK in lots of cities for a long time and not see a Union
Jack.
Well,
I bet you love Texas anywhere. Then.
Yeah.
Oh, Texas, flag, yes. Yeah. Air flag.
The American American flag.
Yeah. Even in California. Like even in the middle of Los Angeles, I was seeing huge, giant American flags everywhere, and it stood out to me because I was like, "Wow!" In the UK, you barely see
that's crazy
the British flag. Aww. You really rarely see it.
I wonder why that is.
We're super proud of
America.
Our
well,
country.
Yeah, America. America should not be here. I mean, if we're really talking about the Revolutionary War and all that stuff, it should not have happened, right? So America has always had this kind of like. Kind of like chip on their shoulder mentality of people like, yeah, nobody thought we could do it. And now look at us now kind of thing. And so, but you see that through patriotism and stuff. And then, but what's happening now is, and we've talked about this a lot, I don't know if you're aware with what I'm talking about, but you see like big tech and things that are trying to make patriotism seem to be this bad thing now. And so they're even changing like synonyms and stuff for the word patriot. Like if you Googled patriot right now, you'd see the New England Patriots probably first, and then you'd see the definition for patriot. But then it's got synonyms, xenophobe,
really,
nationalist, all this other kind of stuff,
trying to make it a bad thing.
Yeah, and so it just kind of creates that mindset of, oh, okay, well, if somebody's patriotic now, they're probably racist or a bigot or all this kind of stuff. Man, people are just, I've never had a problem with people being arrogant about their country and where they're from. Hey, if you love the UK, by God, get you a UK flag tattooed on your butt like everybody else and just be proud of it, man. Get the maple leaf in Canada tattooed on your arm. Hey, why not?
Yeah, well,
I got an American flag on me right now. I mean, that's just, I've never had a problem with that. I don't see why other people get so bent out of shape.
Yeah, well, it's weird. I think we live in a time where stuff that probably should be shamed, you're not supposed to shame, and stuff that you're not supposed to shame or there's no reason to feel shame about, you're supposed to somehow feel shame for. Right? And it's weird. There's this sort of inversion that's going on that certain people are trying to push, right? If you put up a St. George's flag or a Union Jack or an American flag, that's how
white supremacy.
That's somehow tied to white supremacy or feeling of superiority, right? If you're white, you're supposed to self-flagellate all the time. If you're male, you're supposed to self-flagellate. If you're a white male, you're supposed to, use two whips
double,
at the same time.
Right?
And it's just like, what on earth is going on here, man? Like, can pride go too far? Absolutely. Pride can go too far
to
levels of, feeling you are superior to other people. And that's when it can become a problem.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with just, it's weird, because it's like, people get it on one level, but not on another, right? You've had so many, you've got, rainbow flags everywhere, pride celebrations, pride, be proud to be. And it's like, cool. Like, if that's what someone is, then that's fine. I don't think people should be ashamed of what they immutably
Cat
are.
Williams had a comedy special a couple years ago, and I don't remember the joke or anything, but it essentially led to, they're like, man, you can't say that about another country. And he goes, bull crap, we're better than you. We're Americans. I think every country should kind of like jokingly have that in the back of their mind. Bull crap, man. Yeah, we're the UK. We're better than all you.
We're not talking about the people.
Yeah, we're not talking about the superiority of like
a superior government.
It's like, hey, our
system.
Team is better than your team. I mean, it's like sports, same thing. I'm curious of this, and I know I'm throwing a lot of stuff at you here, but like I said, I'm curious the outsider perspective. Just yesterday, it came out that the University of Oklahoma student government made it to where you can't say the Pledge of Allegiance anymore.
Really?
And they deemed it, because it says one nation under God.
Oh my gosh.
They said that it's infringing on the separation of church and state.
Yeah.
So in the UK, and forgive me my ignorance here, I've never lived in the UK. Do you guys have like a pledge of a similar thing or stuff like that? So you guys don't have anything so when you go to school, you just go to school and then you learn.
There's
so,
no like tradition.
There's
like
no
prayer
like country
or
tradition or anything like that for you guys.
No.
Okay.
No.
Interesting. So from the outside looking in, do you see the Pledge of Allegiance as this like Hitler Nazi indoctrination kind of thing that some people are trying to say that it is?
Of course not. I mean, I don't think that anybody should be forced to say it if for whatever reason they don't want to or they're not from the country. Yeah. I mean, I grew up in Saudi Arabia and I was in the Boy Scouts and they used to try to get us to, you know, we used to pledge allegiance to the flag.
Yeah.
And I actually used to refuse to do it.
The Saudi flag. Yeah.
No, the American flag.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the American flag.
No, because I was a member of the Boy Scouts of America in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, okay. Right? Okay. Yeah. But
I refuse to do it because I'm not American.
Sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, I don't want to pledge allegiance to that.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not American. So.
That makes sense.
I'm good with that. When I was in the military, we would have that as well. You know, the chaplain would come in to pray or something before a mission, and they would say, hey, if anybody doesn't want to be a part of this, walk out now and then come back in 5 minutes, you know, kind of thing, and it'll be over with. And nobody batted an eye about it. They're just like, okay, cool, that makes sense. Same thing with Pledge Allegiance. Hey, you know, if for some reason you view it as a bad thing to pledge allegiance to your country, you know, then step outside and come back in a minute. But to make it this bad thing to where now the people that do want to pledge allegiance to the country and believe that to be important. I do. I believe it to be important for my kids. I think that you should be thankful for the country in which you live in. But that's just me. I realize in 2019, there's a lot of people that don't feel that way anymore. But why outlaw it for everybody?
That's always the problem, right? It's the same way that, you know, I'm a Christian. I believe in God, but I have a general rule that look, if I say I can't do something because it's against my religion, then that's fine. If someone says I can't do that thing, I can't eat that, I can't do that, I can't wear that because it's against my religion, I'm like, cool. People cross the line when they say you can't do that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because it's against my religion, right? To me, that's the simple boundary. It's trying to compel or use authority of the government again, or, you know, any institution against other people. So it's like, look, if you don't want to pledge allegiance to a flag, if you don't want to sing a national anthem, if you don't want to, people can disagree, people can question, but I don't think you shouldn't be forcing people to do it.
Right.
But those people who don't like it also then can't be trying to force, I don't like it. So nobody else can do
we
it.
Had
That's
a guy,
the problem.
And I won't say any names, obviously, but when I was in Iraq, we had a guy that was Muslim on our PSD RSD team. And we were getting ready to roll out on a mission. And this guy was like, you're going to have to wait. That's during my prayer time.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, and all of us were kind of like, hey, man, you know, we're religious freedom just like everybody else. But we're in war right now.
We cannot wait.
We're not holding up the mission for you to go do your prayer time. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you know, there's just take yourself off the roster and have somebody else come in kind of stuff. But to expect us to hold back, you know, the leaving time, you know, we're getting ready to leave. No.
That's a big ask.
Yeah, that's a big ask.
You have the Kaepernick thing where if you're working for a company that requires you to stand during the anthem, it's like, well, you can
If you choose to take the check that pays your bills, you chose to take that check.
Boss tells you.
Then you abide by the rules of that company of which you take the check from. You at any time have every right and every freedom not to accept that money anymore. Sure. And then you no longer have to abide by the rules of the company in which you accept money from.
Especially if you play for the women's soccer team.
But people want it both ways now. They want to take the money and then not have to obey by any of the rules. And anyway, all right, so let's get into real quick. We're running long. We could go for hours here, but I want to talk about your book, man.
Yeah, sure, man.
So you got a book. Are you on book tour now? I mean, are you speaking about the book? What's going on?
Man, I mean, what I'm doing right now isn't technically a book tour. So I released my book, put it out initially just as an ebook. It's called Strong Advice, Zumbi's Guide to Fitness for Everybody. So I'm someone who's been training for a long time. And, you know, been through a lot of ups and downs with it, learned a lot of stuff. I'm someone who a lot of people come to for advice with training and diet and things like that. And then I figured, you know, one of my friends pushed me to do it. Shout out to Jose for pushing me to do it.
Hey, I'll give him a
shout out. So he kind of pushed me. He was like, you know, you should write an ebook and put this knowledge together and put it out there for sale so people can do it. So I did that around May this year. It was a little bit ad hoc. It wasn't something I'd sort of planned out for ages, and you know, but I put it out there. The response has been extremely positive. It's been helping a lot of people. I did a short run of paperbacks just before I came out to the US, and those entirely sold out. I'll certainly do another run of them. So the purpose of the book is just to break down in real simple, concise, easy to understand terms for people who are beginners or intermediates to show them how they can eat better, train better, and manipulate things to reach their goals. So how you can diet properly, whether you're trying to gain weight, build muscle, lose weight. This is what you need to know. This is what matters. And also, this is what doesn't matter, because it's one of those subjects where people get bogged down in the details rather than the stuff that's actually of primary importance, both when it comes to diet and training. So I wanted to push all the nonsense to the side.
Simplify it a little bit.
And just put this out there. It's a fairly concise book. It's under 100 pages. But by reading it, it gives you all the tools you need to know. It's not a prescription. It's not saying eat this at that time, lift this at that time.
Right.
It's just giving you, this is the most important stuff you need to know. And once you understand these concepts for now and in the future, whatever your goal is, this is how you do it. If your goal is to lose weight, okay, this is how you set up a diet. This is how you calculate how many calories you need. This is how to structure your macros, all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. That's awesome, cool, man. Well, dude, I've really enjoyed having you on the show.
Yeah, this has been some really cool conversations.
We're going to have you back on next time you find yourself this way, because I feel like we could talk for like 3 hours about this stuff. And I think that it's so important for listeners, especially over here in America, to hear some outside perspective sometimes. I appreciate you coming on, man. It was really cool. So real quick, for all the listeners, where can they find out what you're doing? Where can they follow you? All that stuff.
Sure thing. So if you want to check out my book or any other merchandise, go to teamzuby.com. That's teamzuby.com. My main website is zubymusic.com. You can check out both my music and my podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, all the usual places, and all of my social media handles. Definitely follow me on Twitter. That's the most fun. At zubymusic, at Z-U-B-Y music. I'm also on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. Alyssa, where can they find you?
On Instagram at Alyssa Allen.
Jake?
Instagram producer_Jake.
And of course, I am Graham Allen, but you already know that because you're listening to my show. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Dear America podcast, and we'll see you again next time.
Bye. See you.